Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, we continue our exit interview series with Josh Richardson.
We'll review Richardson's season and answer some key questions about his future. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip-Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Romello, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation and AllYouCanHeat.com. I cover the league at large for Fansided, and you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRomel13.
On today's show, we are continuing our exit interview series. They will all follow the same general format. We'll talk about one player per show, review his season with pros and cons, then answer some key questions about his future. We've already done Goran Dragic, we've done Tyler Johnson, and today's show, we're talking about Josh Richardson. So let's start today's show with some pros and cons about Richardson's season. David, as for pros, it's pretty clear that Josh Richardson made a leap this last season. I mean, of all the players on the roster that we're going to talk about, he's probably got the strongest single pro in that the Heat signed him to an extension at the start of the season, and you know, there was a lot of debate. Should they have even signed him to an extension? Is he worth an average of $12 million a year? And it now, by the end of the season, it looks like that's going to be a very team-friendly contract. As far as pros go, Josh Richardson making that leap in his third season and becoming one of Miami's best scorers, in addition to remaining and improving on defense, he's one of their most disruptive defenders, is a major pro, right?
Yeah, absolutely. With a team like Miami that has such a reputation for reclamation projects, this one stands out as a job of pretty savvy drafting. A second-round pick that wasn't expected to really stick around the team and obviously had some injuries that plagued him throughout the first few years of his career. But in this particular season, I think he really did take that leap, standing out as not just a capable offensive player, somebody who has a lot of versatility in his scoring, but also, like you mentioned, defensively, like to become one of the candidates for an All-NBA defensive team, to kind of garner the attention that he did from national media because he was able to, limit quicker guards to stay with taller wings. He could, guard pretty much anybody, and he showed that kind of versatility that we expected him to have, but he really highlighted that this season and showed that he was capable of growing even more than we had hoped.
Yeah, I think his niche as a lockdown perimeter defender is pretty clear in the NBA, right? I mean, this is a guy who he can go toe to toe with a guy like Steph Curry and do as well as a job as anybody on a guy like that. I mean, he has consistently done that. So his role with the team his role in the league, I should say, is really cemented in that, you could put him on any team and they will be better for him on the defensive end. Offensively, I think is sort of where he started to come along. I mean, he developed a couple of different moves. He had that scoop shot that he became famous for towards the end of the season. Became a better mid-range shooter a little bit. And as far as cons go, I will say that his scoring was a little overblown. Yes. He had that run in December and January where he was averaging something like 18 to 20 points a game. But overall, for the balance of the season, he only averaged 12.9 points per game, which really isn't a lot, And I think, we look at him as, oh, what can this guy be? Can he be Jimmy Butler? Can he be Paul George? Can he be that two-way threat? And I just wonder if he can do it consistently enough to be considered that kind of player on the offensive end. Is he more of that guy on offense that we saw in December, if he really kind of puts his head down and focuses on being that? Or is he more of the guy that he really was just for the rest of the season? What do you think?
I tend to think that he's capable of more and that I think he's closer to that ceiling that we saw rather than closer to the floor. And for me, I think he's shown that he has the kind of commitment that we expect of a player in a Heat organization. And he's shown, like I said before, enough versatility there to kind of make me feel like these aren't just flashes, that these aren't traits that he can pick up or drop at the regularly. He's consistently working towards these, you know, this these goals of becoming a versatile, improved, and consistent scorer, it just didn't always work out that way. And I think there's potential there because he does have a good stroke. He does have good form. He does have the kind of ranginess and length to make him a quality scorer. I mean, his body type isn't very different from, say, a DeMar DeRozan. And I think it took DeRozan some years to kind of establish himself as one of the top scorers in the league. And I think Richardson could become that. You know, he's to be able to already show proficiency from long range, I think that's key. And now it's just about taking it to another level of being a more creative scorer off the dribble, something that you and I had talked about and that he talked about in his own exit interview with the team. So I think looking at his ability, looking at what he's doing over the course of the season, I tend to think that he's capable of you know, achieving the higher end of the spectrum rather than the lower. What about you?
In the spirit of the exit interviews, I agree. I mean, if we're talking about things that he can improve on, you're right. We did talk about this on an earlier podcast. It was after his exit interview. He said that he wants to get better. He wants to be able to dribble the ball better. He wants to improve his handle, put the ball on a string. So he said, and then be able to contribute more in isolation situations, which was essentially something he just did not do last season. I mean, other than just some spot occasions at the end of a shot clock where he was sort of forced into it, he didn't play those situations last year at all. Right. So having that would be huge for Miami. We've talked about this a lot. You look at the Heat's roster, what are they missing? They're missing a guy who can do that, who can be a DeMar DeRozan, who could be an isolation score you can just kind of give the ball to and say, all right, you know, our play didn't work, bail us out. They don't have that guy.
No.
And if you look up and down the roster, who could be that guy? Well, they don't have that guy right now. Deion Waiters, when he comes back, we'll see. Depends on how he comes back from that surgery. But the one player who looks like he could develop into that sort of guy is Josh Richardson. And I'd 100% agree. I mean, knowing that he needs to do that is going to be huge. And that kind of, you know, being able to wrap up a season and understand that's my next step kind of speaks to his overall maturity. He was a four-year starter, you know, a four-year player in college. He's an older age, third-year player, but he's really mature. And I think that's a big part of the success he's had earlier on in his career. I hope that that leads him to a higher ceiling, which isn't necessarily the case with guys who went to college for 4 years. You know what I mean? They tend to plateau a little bit earlier in their careers.
Yeah. I mean, you look at a player who was comparable coming out the same year, another four-year player who might have gone a little bit higher and showed flashes. That's Norm Powell. I mean, I hate to make these constant Toronto comparisons, but that was a player who got, I think, the same exact extension that Richardson did. Conversely, Powell showed some flashes early in the season and then was basically glued to the bench for the later half of the season. And, Toronto was still able to succeed despite that lack of growth. So you wonder there, you look at Norm Powell, not particularly tall, not particularly rangy. And although he can do a lot defensively and offensively, just didn't do enough to earn the trust of Dwayne Casey. So conversely, I think Josh Richardson has more potential and is probably the better player at this point. I would say, you know, in the spirit of an exit interview, you point out that his ball handling and creating off the dribble, et cetera. But I also think that it's important, and I know that you and I have talked about this on a number of occasions, but his confidence level dwindles so dramatically and affects him so much as a scorer. And you've talked to a number of players. I've talked to a number of players, and there are so many that kind of practice mindfulness and mm-hmm. doing what they can to remove anxiety and things of that sort. Something that I think we tend to disassociate with professional athletes, but I think for a guy like Richardson, he just does tend to get into his head too often. So kind of helping him find that. And I know from an organizational standpoint, Miami's more of the mind frame that you work through it, you push through it, and you figure it out. If you keep working, you'll get better. But I think there needs to be an added focus on kind of strengthening his willpower or getting him to fight through that mental adversity when it comes out on the court.
Maybe that could be the way Tyler Johnson earns his contract next year. Be Josh Richardson's sensei. Take him in nice. Under your wing. Meditate with him every morning because we know Tyler Johnson likes to do that. And then we'll pay you for occasional off-the-bench contributions, but mostly you are going to be Josh Richardson's sensei.
Can you defer part of his salary? Does that work that way? Is that part of the Players Association agreement? I don't think so.
We'll have to read it. We have to figure it out. Maybe there's a loophole that we could exploit. Look, I mean, Josh Richardson obviously is one of Miami's better prospects, better projects, developing players. But, well, he's also probably one of their more valuable trade chips, you know, push comes to shove. We'll talk about what Josh Richardson's value on the open market is after this quick break. The playoffs are here, and just like the Miami Heat, it's time to step up your game. If you run a company and you're unhappy with the results from traditional advertising online or in print, make a big-time adjustment by advertising with us here on Locked On Heat. We've already got national brands advertising on the show, but it's also a great opportunity for South Florida businesses to connect with local Heat fans. You've heard about the studies already, how podcast listeners are 65% more likely to engage with advertisers, and how the number of people listening to podcasts continue to grow every year, heck, every month. Be ahead of the curve and start advertising on a podcast with us here at Locked On Heat. You have nothing to lose by reaching out, and our rates are reasonable, and they're based on the number of listens, so it's an efficient use of your time and your money. For more information on next steps, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com. That's lockedonheat@gmail.com, and we could be talking about your company right here on the show. Back with Locked On Heat. We'll talk about how Richardson's development lines up with Pat Riley's timeline later on. But first, David, I want to ask you this question. Is Josh Richardson more valuable as a player or as an asset?
Personally, I feel that it's like you hinted at before, his age makes him more valuable as a player than as an asset. I tend to think of assets being more along the lines of what's behind box number A or whatever, you know, the mystery box, you know, either a draft pick that you're not sure what's going to, that's going to wind up turning into, or a player that has been glued to the bench. At this point, I think Richardson has had enough playing time where opposing teams and GMs know, I think, enough of what they're getting out of him. And it's just a matter of him continuing to fine tune those skills and continue to work harder. So he's more of a player that's already capable of doing. I mean, I don't think he can garner attention as an All-NBA defender and not be recognized widely as a player. Like, I know that's a media award, but I think for the most part, there's enough recognition there. And I think from opposing players, like, you can see them struggle to put up shots. He's blocked enough shots, packed enough guys at the rim to for opposing players to say, you know what, this guy's a real player. He's a tough cover. It's hard for me to score against him, et cetera. So I think other people view him more as a already fairly established player that's capable of more rather than as an asset that you could attach to, say, a more expensive contract like Hassan Whiteside or something.
You know, I kind of go the other way. You know, I think Tyler Johnson's got me spooked a little bit where, you know, you've got, maybe that's not the best comparison, but it's like, all right, this guy can develop, and just, he plateaus so hardly. Like, it was a tough landing for Tyler Johnson, I thought, this last season, where it was clear, you know, the things we're talking about Josh Richardson, he needs to develop a handle, blah, 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 but mostly he needs to develop, he needs to develop some consistency on the offensive end, because he is what he is on the defensive end, which is an extremely valuable player. But I think on the offensive end is where you view him more as a project, and you look at maybe more of his ceiling there. And I wonder if you just talk yourself into that. I wonder how much of his, like, how high really is that ceiling? Is there a world, or what is the likelihood that Josh Richardson turns into a consistent offensive threat? And we wondered that about Tyler Johnson, and it just looks like that's not going to happen for him. And I think and Josh Richardson isn't a guy that was drafted at 8, 9, 10 or in the lottery or anything like that. He was drafted in the second round, and the reason wasn't only because he went to college for 4 years. There was talent. Like, how much talent does this guy, like, raw talent does he have? And there was concerns about that.
Well, he kind of played out of position in Tennessee. They had him running the point a little bit, and he fluctuated between the 1 and 3 at a time when, especially collegiately, I don't know that positionless basketball was really that firmly taking a hold. So to me, I feel like he probably wasn't utilized as effectively as he could have been. And then, you know, even his rookie year, there was a little bit of that where he was playing point guard to Dwayne Wade at times. Remember that? I mean, those were odd lineups. But I think we see him being more of a 2-3, you know, and that fits well with how other teams scheme out, and I think he can match up with them pretty evenly. So I don't know. I'm you know, so a little surprised that you think of him more as an asset than as a player.
I think that you can trick other teams into that upside, maybe. And if it became, I think he's a very valuable player. I should have said that. And I am generally of the belief that he does have a high ceiling, and that I really do think he can be a consistent 18 points per game player. I think he can get there at some point.
Yeah.
But I also, like, you remember when the Spurs had George Hill for 3 years?
Sure.
And they ended up moving him to Indiana and got that Kawhi Leonard pick?
Yeah.
Is Josh Richardson Miami's George Hill? You know, that last year in San Antonio, George Hill averaged almost 12 points per game. He shot 37, almost 38% from three-point range. I'm looking up the stats right now. Had, you know, would put up a couple assists, put up a couple rebounds per game, put up a steal per game. Made a name for himself as a defensive stopper and was beloved by that Spurs organization. But when they saw the potential in Kawhi Leonard and the opportunity to make a move and get a guy like that, they said, you know what? We love George Hill. We love his upside. But this guy is just a little bit more of a better fit for what we need. They went ahead and moved George Hill and got that pick and got Kawhi Leonard. And I wonder if Josh Richardson is something similar. And if Miami hangs on to Josh Richardson for too long rather than move him now at 24 years old, where maybe you can, you know, another team is in love with his upside and what he's been able to do and what he just brings to the table right now as a defender and a versatile offensive player. Could you move him right now and maybe get your next Kawhi Leonard or your next even higher ceiling type of prospect? Like, that George Hill trade was franchise altering for the Spurs. And I wonder if Josh Richardson could be something similar for Miami.
So what's the best fit to maximize what Richardson does? If he does get moved for a team out there, where would he be more effective?
Someone who could play him at the two, which is not something Miami could do right now. If you could play him at shooting guard, as opposed to the three, because you need long wings right now. If you're going to credibly challenge one of the top two teams in the league right now, which is basically the Cavaliers and the Warriors, who have long wings and long perimeter players, Josh Richardson can't play the three. He cannot play the three in a game against those championship teams. So you've got to find a team that can play him at the two. I don't know who could use that kind of player. I mean, boy, I think any number of teams who needed a lockdown defender who also has maybe a score first point guard. Josh Richardson can sort of be a release valve there. I mean, you could trust him to run a little bit of the offense, but you don't want him doing it full time, right? Because he has that point guard experience that you talked about. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, can make his money on the defensive end, could be a lockdown all NBA type defender for you, and then just kind of be a ramped up version of Andre Roberson. Like, if you look at what Roberson's able to do next to Westbrook, Richardson could be a better version of that.
How about this? Who's a better player as a two guard? Jaylen Brown from Boston or Josh Richardson?
Jaylen Brown. As far as upside goes and the way he's able to shoot threes, like, he's a great 3-point shooter. I think Richardson's a fine 3-point shooter.
You think Jaylen Brown's a better 3-point shooter? Yeah. I don't even know what the numbers are, but I didn't think he was that good of a shooter. Like, I always think of him as being somewhat erratic as a shooter.
I don't know, man. Let me look up his stats right now, but his stroke is really, really sweet right now. He shot 40% from 3-point range on more 3-point attempts than Richardson did. 4.4. Richardson averaged 4.1.
But yeah, then again, like, he was Brown's playing alongside, say, Kyrie Irving, who creates a lot of shots.
So put Richardson in that Jaylen Brown. Yeah, so that's a good, great comparison. Put Josh Richardson in that Jaylen Brown spot. And I think he could do that in Miami. I have no doubt that he could do that in Miami if they just, you know, maybe you move on from Teyon Waiters or bring him off the bench or something like that. However they got to get there. But I think you could trade. I'll put it this way. If you put Josh Richardson on the market, I think you can get a lot for him right now. And I might take that. I would really consider if it was the right deal, if it was the right draft pick to get the right guy, you know, on draft day, like a Kawhi Leonard, or if it was just the right player, you've got to consider it, because I don't know that Richardson's value is ever going to be higher than it is right now. Like, what if he comes out next year and just has the same season? Like, his value won't be as high at 25 than it is at 24.
That's a good point. I was wondering, you know, along the same lineups, like, maybe, you know, a score first point guard. I mean, obviously Goran is a really good scorer on occasion, but I don't think he's that same kind of explosive scorer that an Irving is. Would Deion Waiters be a better point guard on this particular team so that you could maximize what he does and then have Josh Richardson playing alongside him as a two and maybe bring Goran off the bench to play alongside, say, Tyler Johnson?
I'll answer your question this way. It's something I've often thought about.
Okay.
That's all. I'm not saying yes or no. It's just something I've thought about. Let's wrap up our exit interview with Josh Richardson, but we're going to do that when we come back after this break. Before we move on with the show, we want to take a quick break and tell you about our Patreon page. You can find it by going to patreon.com/lockedonheat. And we are humbly asking for people to commit to a monthly pledge to help us continue to improve the quality of the show. Thanks to you who have already supported the podcast, we have quickly reached our initial funding goal that allowed us to purchase software that improved the quality of the podcast. But we aren't just stopping there. We've added a new tier of supporters. For $5 a month, you'll get access to a bunch of goodies, including salary cap and depth chart projections, free agency player rankings by position, a running list of our favorite trade ideas, and whatever else we can think of. Just go to patreon.com/lockedonheat to get started. Again, that's patreon.com/lockedonheat. That's patreon.com/lockedonheat. Back with Locked On Heat, Josh Richardson no doubt has shown promise, and we don't know how long Pat Riley plans to stick around, but do you think that Riley has the time to see out the rest of Richardson's development, kind of in line with what we were just talking about, David? Or is this the time to maybe package Richardson and another player or two to make a move for, regardless of what we think Richardson's upside is, do we just try to fast forward the script here and just move Richardson for a guy who's a superstar right now?
I given Riley's history and his temperament and what he kind of pseudo revealed in his end of season conference press conference, my thinking is that he would probably trade Richardson if he could get the right deal. As much as I think that Riley will stick around for a few more years, because, you know, as ESPN wrote in that fantastic feature a couple months ago, he's flirted with the idea of retirement for years now. He just can't seem to bring himself to do it. He is an obsessive workaholic, and I think he just wants to stick around to see this team take a next level. And if that means moving Richardson, as you theorize, for a better player or for a draft pick to help speed up the rebuilding process, I think he'd be willing to make that move in a heartbeat.
I agree. You know, I'm the one that wrote this question, and again, I take umbrage with the question I wrote myself. It would have to be for the right player, right? I don't think it's a black and white thing. Like, he's looking to shop him for the right, for any type of guy who may have been named an all-star last year. It would have to be for the right player who is at least, I don't know what Pat Riley views Josh Richardson's ceiling as, right? But he would
pretty
have
high,
to move,
I think, right?
I think it's pretty high. Yeah. I agree. And if he were to move Richardson, it would have to be for somebody who is presently at what he thinks Josh Richardson's ceiling is or exceeds that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not – if he views – I'm trying to think. I mean, let's say Otto Porter Jr. is on the market from Washington. I don't think he would move Richardson for Otto Porter Jr., even though Otto Porter right now is a better player than Josh Richardson, and in a lot of ways is kind of plays the same role.
He's a better fit in plays that –
exactly, and on Miami's roster, and plays it better than Richardson probably does right now. I don't think he would move Richardson for that guy, but maybe if, I don't know, hypothetically, Paul George was available for trade, or if they needed to move for some reason Josh Richardson in order to make an assign and trade deal with the Thunder. I'm more focusing on the player than the situation right now, but like Paul George may exceed what he thinks Josh Richardson's ceiling is, and he might do that, you know? So, again, it comes down to the sort of player that he thinks not only Josh Richardson could become, but who is actually available for a trade, and of course what the other pieces are. But I'm with you overall. I think Riley would move Josh Richardson for the right player.
Yeah, but that's, I was thinking about it too, and it almost feels like it's an indictment of Riley in the front office and how they value players. That their expectation is that players can individually overcome their limitations through work and work and work. And the reality is that I don't know that it necessarily fits that way. Like, it's always about how these players fit together in the roster. I mean, and maybe, you know, in the day-to-day, Spoelstra sees things about these lineups that he thinks makes the most out of what Richardson brings to the table, but that's not clearly the case. If Richardson's going to stagnate, it's probably because not of his physical limitations or what the amount of work he's put in over the offseason, but it's about who he's playing alongside that can help him become the kind of player that we believe that he will be. So it's up to Riley in the front office to understand his limitations and his strengths and find a roster that maximizes those strengths and covers up those weaknesses, because that's also the secondary role of a GM. So,
well, sort of building on that, then I want to ask one more question before we wrap this thing up. How urgent do you think it is that Miami eventually moves him to the two? Because Pat Riley, in his exit interview, said he views Josh Richardson as a two guard, and that's completely correct. I mean, he is an undersized small forward, but he is a, I mean, his size fantastic as a two guard, yeah, it's a major advantage. I mean, I would say it's extremely urgent to find a way to play Josh Richardson a majority of his minutes at the two. I would say that that's urgent, and I would think you need to do that sooner rather than later.
I agree. I mean, we saw in the playoffs those lineups with Tyler Johnson as a starting two guard just didn't work. You know, Goran has his limitations defensively, I think. So playing alongside a player like Richardson really helps cover those up, and I think that's where he's most effective. So you're absolutely right. It should be a matter of urgency. And you wonder how much influence Riley has over a guy like Spoelstra. Maybe Spoelstra's thinking was, these are the best lineups I have with Deion being hurt. But at the same time, if should Deion come back at 100%, what's the next step for Spoelstra in the roster?
That's a great point. And look, there's obviously questions about how long Deion Waiters' rehab and recovery are going to take. But there are concerns that he won't be ready for training camp, and he won't be ready until the very start or a little bit into when the regular season begins. And maybe you can kind of use that as a built-in excuse to start Richardson at the two and bring Deion Waiters off the bench. Listen, Deion, we'd love to start you, but the fact of the matter is you're working yourself back in. It's easier to control your minutes and just sort of and do that, bring you off the bench. We'll try to get you a starting job later on. And you massage the situation from there, because you and I have questioned whether or not Deion Waiters would be even willing to take a bench role. I do think, since his comments about Hassan Whiteside, maybe it's a little bit more practice what you preach, but we'll see. I think it sounds like from his comments he'd be willing to put the team first if the team was winning, and I think they would win more if Josh. But at the end of the day, they would need somebody to play the three, and they don't have a true small forward right now. They're kind of in the same boat as almost like the New Orleans Pelicans right now, who are playing shooting guards. And you can get at on the perimeter, and you can, as the Pelicans have shown, you can get pretty far. You can advance in the playoffs, but at the end of the day, if you're playing the Warriors, you're just not going to be able to match up. And if you're the Heat and you want to contend at the highest level, they're going to have to find also a true small forward if they want to move Josh Richardson over.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's all we have for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Send us your questions and comments by emailing us at lockedonheat@gmail.com or using the hashtag AskLOHeat. And support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.